Yeah, it's an interesting question because there was a, and I forget the case, but there was a case that I think it was in Delaware where a party lost standing because of a self-executing provision in a funding agreement.
That was my case.
Was that your, okay.
So then it's on appeal right now in the Fed Circuit.
But that does, you know, so those are the two issues when parties start looking at funding agreements. It's, to me, it's kind of a balance between patent cases, at least in my experience as a patent lawyer, as a practicing lawyer, and then on the bench, is there's a plethora of things to fight about in a patent case and a lot of different issues and things to go after that may or may not be relevant. So I start kind of with the idea that the funding, and I'm actually watching curiously the standing order as well as the VLSI Intel order up there, because I think we had mentioned, you know, the experimenting is something that's kind of fun to do when you're on the bench to help get the answer right. So I'm really curious to see how it plays out. Right now, I start kind of with the position that in general, the funding, other than the Rule 7 disclosures, is not relevant or discoverable. But if a party finds evidence or has some issue that raises either a standing question, I've had it brought to me in the form of it may be relevant for standing or it may be relevant for valuation where parties have discussed values. But so far, the majority of those arguments have been extremely speculative. It's just been there might be something there, so we ought to be allowed to look at it and see. Whereas if they can find a security agreement that's been filed with the patent office that indicates issues with standing to where we do need to get to those agreements, then that might be relevant. Or if it's been shared with a third party but hasn't been shared with the defendant, then there may be issues. Or if a witness in the case has seen it or seen some of the information, is it being used as a sword and shield, letting out the good parts of the funding agreement but withholding the bad parts of it? Those would all be situations where I'd be interested in getting into it. I try to, in general, keep discovery focused on what I'll consider the three things in a patent case is liability, damages, and defenses. And if it goes to one of those three, then obviously it's discoverable if you can tie it to one of those. But if it does, if you can raise a real, it's more than speculation on whether there's a speculative standing issue hiding behind the scenes somewhere, if it gets more concrete than that, then I'm open to exploring the funding agreements. But I kind of start with the position that, in general, they're not really relevant to the case, provided the parties have complied with their Rule 7 disclosures and their Rule 26 disclosures as far as persons with knowledge and that sort of thing.
And I've not encountered it in the context of a litigation financer, but I'm currently have a case that's going to trial on Monday in a trademark infringement case. And the plaintiff has sued the defendant in my case, and they're kind of a small-time defendant. And then they have a separate case, same plaintiff, different defendant, that has a much bigger operation and is definitely the bigger focus for them. Well, there's been a dispute, and I ruled on motions in limine today about whether, because as it turns out, this other defendant is... Well, there's a dispute. These are in publicly filed documents, so I can say this. But this other defendant is paying the way for this smaller defendant in this case. And so the plaintiff wants that story to come into this case and say, look, you know, they say they're a small, you know, they're, you know, an underdog, but really, you know, they're being funded by this big operation. And I don't know where I'm going to land on that in terms of, is that truly relevant to the trademark infringement questions that the jury is going to have to answer?
So it sounds like your concern is focused on what is relevant for the fact finder at trial. I mean, were there concerns, or did you have concerns that there was something funny going on? Like maybe the client had a relationship with this other lawyer that wasn't appropriate? Or from your perspective, was it more about what is truly relevant to the jury?
I didn't get any sense that there was any funny business going on, but it did bring up some questions that I think are kind of related to what you were talking about, which is there was a discovery fight, a privilege fight, about whether communications between lawyer from big defendant, and it, as it turns out now, like the same lawyer law firm represents big defendant and small defendant, Can those communications, are those disclosures to a third party and thus waiving the privilege, or does the joint interest doctrine extend the privilege to those? And ultimately, I concluded that it did. But that was, that raised another issue, right, about are they waiving privilege by collaborating?
Yeah, that makes sense. So I'd like to move. I did ask some of my colleagues in the community, like, what types of questions might be interesting to our audience to ask our judges. And everybody wants to know about your dockets. Like, how fast can they get to trial? And are you seeing any trends in terms of filing? So, again, I'll start with you, Chief Judge Connolly, and we're happy to hear about what's happening in your court, but also throughout your district.
All right. I think the judges in our court aim for trial at around 24 months from the filing of a complaint. We average close to that. The last time I saw figures, we were all within 24 to 25 months. I don't know how realistic it is that we can maintain that because our caseload has just gone through the roof. And it's gone through the roof with competitor cases. We now have about 28 to 29% of all the competitor cases. And so they just take up an inordinate amount of time. And we have a huge influx of ANDA cases. I now have 118 ANDA cases. They're particularly intense and burdensome because they're bench trials, as you probably know. And they usually involve multiple defendants and really no cost is spared in litigating the case. So I don't know that we can maintain that docket.